Good morning, everyone. My name is Paul Tower, and we're so glad that you're joining us for worship this morning at Westminster Presbyterian. To everyone that's joining us online, we welcome you as well. We just have a couple of announcements for you this morning. First off, is if you would like to follow along with the worship service, there is a bulletin online at westminsterpca.net that you can click out there and you can follow along with the liturgy this morning. And then secondly, we're doing a fundraiser for the Baby Bottle Boomerang. If you go out to our website, you can see a web address, and then you can also see a place where you can mail checks. Obviously, we're not going to hand out baby bottles right now in the midst of the pandemic, but they can still use your support. So if you would like to support the fundraiser, please go on out to these addresses, and you can participate that way. Additionally, I'd like to just remind y'all that we are still planning on doing a missions trip to Cherokee, North Carolina, the first week of October. Right now, it's tentatively planned for October 3rd through 10th. If you would like to be a part of that, please let me know or anyone on the missions committee, and we would love to get you signed up for that. And then lastly, our good friends, the APALs, they're going to be moving, and this is their last Sunday with us. So I would encourage you guys to please, please, please take an opportunity just to greet them this morning and send them off well. And now, if y'all could, just take a moment and prepare for worship.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Stuart Mizell. It's great to have you here today with us and all of you who are joining us online. Thanks for tuning in. Today, we have gathered together to worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what we see in Psalm 103, verses 8 through 13, will serve as our call to worship today, reminding us of who God is. And this is what this passage says. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. This is a God worth praising, a God worth giving glory and honor to, a God worth singing to. So I invite you, if you're able, to stand and let's sing together our first song, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Thank you.
because our God is such a gracious, loving, and compassionate God, we can come to Him in worship and confess our sins. We don't have to try to hide. He already knows all of our sins. We don't try to have to say, oh, you know, I can't talk about this with God. No, He already knows. And yet He still loves us. In fact, He shows us that He loves us in that while we were sinners, Christ, our Redeemer, died for us. He laid down His life for us that we would have life, forgiveness, and be adopted into the family of God. And so as we read this prayer together, let's remember that, yes, we can confess our sins. We can come clean. We can be brutally honest with God because all of our sins have been placed upon Jesus. And let's read this confession of sin together. Jesus, forgive my sins. Forgive the sins that I remember and the sins I have forgotten. Forgive my many failures in the face of temptation, and those times when I have been stubborn in the face of correction. Forgive the times I have been proud of my own achievements, and those when I have failed to boast in your works. Forgive the harsh judgments I have made of others, and the leniency I have shown myself. Forgive the lies I have told to others, and the truths I have avoided. Forgive me the pain I have caused others and the indulgence I have shown myself. Jesus, have mercy on me and make me whole. Amen. And the good news is that Jesus has come to make us whole. When He gives us life, it is not just a life that lasts forever, but a life that is the life of God. He makes us new creations in Christ, people who are able and willing to live for Him. So let's confess this truth as we read from Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. Let's read it together. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. This is the good news, that Jesus gave Himself to make us His. And because He's made us His, we are His indeed. And He will always hold on to us. Even when we are trying to run astray, He will hold us fast. So let's sing that as we sing the next song. He will hold me fast. Will you please stand if you're able? And let's rejoice in Jesus.
My love is often cold. Mike Alford, I'm an elder here, and I've been asked to lead us in prayer this morning. So would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Holy Father, we just stand in awe of the fact that the Holy God is gathered here with us today, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we might worship you with all our hearts, minds, and bodies, and love you, Lord, and love each other. We just thank you for a time of worship, whether we're here or online now, Father, to reach up to you and to thank you for being our God, being our Savior, and being the Spirit of God that lives within us. We just pray, Father, today that you'd make your presence known as we sing these hymns and as we pray and as we hear from your word, that you are here with us, because we live in a time, Father, in our world that seems, Father, just gets worse every day. And Father, we just have things that on our minds and our hearts that cause us anxiety and worry, like diseases, racial injustice, politics that seem to be corrupt. Just, Father, just things around the world seem to be falling apart. But we know, Father, that you are a sovereign God, that you are indeed in control, and you do hold us fast. And you, Father, have a plan, and your plan will work. And Father, we just look forward to that day. That day, Father, when you said you would return, that Jesus Christ will return and take us out of this world, Father, into a much better new world. And we pray that comes soon. And then, Father, we just pray for our times here that you give us strength. Father, we pray for those who are in your work around the world. We pray for the Watanabes in Japan, Father, as they plant church there. Father, help them as they go through their work and try to deal with this COVID as well, Father, and the things that go on in that country. Father, we just pray for Love Covenant Church and for Tommy Frederick over there as he leads his church through these times, Father, and also his work he does in the community, working with other churches and other pastors. We pray for one of our sister churches at Reedy Creek Presbyterian Church in Dillon. And we pray for them, Father, as Reverend Kelly leads them, and that very old and very well well-established church in that community. Father, we pray too, Father, for we thank you for the service that the APALs gave us here, and we're sad that Mike and Rochelle are leaving us, but we pray, Father, that you would bless them and their new lives and their new community, and they would find another church there, Father, that they would be able to show their gifts and their willingness to serve there. And we pray, Father, they would come back often and visit. Father, we just pray for Annette Adams this morning, that she lost her father. Father, the second parent she's lost in just a little over a year. We just pray for the Blackman family as they grieve, and you would comfort them. And just pray, Father, that they would feel your presence with them. And Father, help us to show them our love and Annette and the support in her at this time. And now, Father, we just pray as we hear from Stuart and the word that you've given to him, that we would leave here, Father, today, knowing your word, applying it to our lives, being strengthened and better equipped to do a good work on this earth and to build your kingdom until thy kingdom come. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Well, we are continuing our series that we've entitled Church in the Time of COVID-19 because this pandemic has really upturned our lives and made things so strange, like the fact that we're wearing masks in a worship service, like the fact that we're about maybe half of what we normally would have, and we have a good number of people who are watching online instead of being here in person. Like the fact that schools, at least in this area, some are opening up online only, and some of them are having options. It's just upturned our lives. And so we have to return to those things that are certain. When things are uncertain, there are things that we need to hold on to that we know, okay, here's the next right thing for me to do as I follow Jesus. And we've talked about things like love. We're to love God and we're to love our neighbor. We've talked about upholding the truth and living by faith. We've talked about acting justly, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God. We've talked about repentance and conforming to Jesus. We've talked about prayer, walking with wisdom, and even walking by the Spirit. Now today, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 to talk about temptation. So I invite you to either follow along in your own Bible or you can see the words on the screen here. This is God's word. It is always true, always good, always helpful for us to know who our God is and what he has called us to do and to believe. So let's hear what he has to say. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this: "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore,
Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Let me pray for us. Father, we all know what it's like to be tempted. We all know what it's like to give in to temptation. We all know how hard it can be at times to say no to temptation. And here you are in your word encouraging us by your Spirit to remember the good news of Jesus and to recognize that there is a way out. Will you help us, Holy Spirit, to grow in living this kind of life that you called us to in Christ? That the way we live would reflect Jesus more and more, so much so that we would become more like our sinless Savior. We recognize that as long as we live in this life, sin will not be completely done with us. And at the same time, we recognize that our destiny is to be without sin. One day, as we stand in your presence, that will happen. In the meantime, will you help us to continue to grow in saying no to sin, to temptation, and to fixing our eyes on Jesus, and for the joy that's set before us in him, that we would find strength to resist temptation. Help us with this. We pray, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your glory. Amen. Pastor Tony Evans tells a story about a man who's trying to lose weight. And he's not doing a good job of it because his biggest temptation in the world is donuts. Anybody with him? I have to admit that I took my daughters to Dunkin' Donuts to get them a free coffee. And as I was driving, I was thinking, the coffee is all I'm going to get. But the closer I got to Dunkin' Donuts, the more I thought, I would really like a donut. And then it turned into, you know, I should probably get a donut for everybody. And then it turned into, I should get a whole box of donuts. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to kind of give in to temptation when it comes to donuts. But anyway, this man, every donut shop for miles around knew him because that's the kind of person he was. Every time he saw a donut shop, he just had to go in. But finally he decided, you know, I really want to lose weight, so I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. And I'm going to tell everybody at work about this New Year's resolution. And I'm going to tell them that I am not going to eat one single donut for the entire year. And so he walked in and he told all his co-workers, I am not going to eat a donut this year. That's my New Year's resolution. And they're like, okay, we'll see how that goes. Well, for several days, he actually didn't eat one single donut. And they were like, wow, maybe he's going to do this. But then one day, he came in with a whole sack full of cream-filled donuts. And they looked at him and he said, what's up with that? Come on, man, I thought you were doing so well. And he said, well, no, you know, you don't understand. These are special donuts. These are donuts from God. And they're like, what? Donuts from God? What do you mean? And he said, well, before I passed Dunkin' Donuts today, I was on my way to work, and I fully knew that there was going to be temptation to eat those donuts. And I thought, okay, I'm going to pray about this. So I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have these donuts, then you got to give me a sign. I really want these delicious, delectable, delightful donuts, but I only want to do it if you want me to do it. So you're going to have to give me a parking spot right in front of the donut shop. And if there's a parking spot right in front of the donut shop, I will know. It's a sign from you. I should get some donuts. And sure enough, after driving 9 times around the block, there was a spot open. It's a sign from God. We ever been there? In a situation where, yeah, I kind of want to resist temptation, but at the same time, not so much. And I'm looking for a way to give in. The struggle's real. As Oscar Wilde, the author, said, I can resist anything except temptation. And then he said, the best way to deal with temptation is to yield to it. But that's not what the scriptures say, right? The scriptures are very clear that we are to resist temptation. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That even in uncertain times, even in difficult times, we can be certain of our calling to resist temptation. As the people of God, as those who are called to follow Jesus, we are called to resist temptation. Let's take a look at this passage to see how this plays out. In verses 1 through 5, Paul says a lot of interesting things about God's people during the time of the Exodus from Egypt. He talks about being baptized into Moses and in the cloud and the sea, and how there was this rock that had water, and somehow that rock was Christ. And there's a lot of things that we could dig into, but for the sake of time, just notice that basically what he's saying about this passage is reminding us, as what he says in verse 5, with most of them, God was not pleased. Even though God had given them all of these good things, with most of them he was not pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. And then in verse 6 he says, now these things took place. All of this stuff took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. They gave into temptation and they came under judgment. And so for us, it's an example, a negative example. They serve as a negative example to help us understand the dangers of temptation so that we would not desire what is evil. And he gives a list of some things that they gave into: idolatry, sexual immorality, putting God to the test, putting Christ to the test, grumbling about their circumstances. And then in verse 11, he reminds us, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction. They were written down for us, on whom the end of the ages has come. And then he says in verse 12, therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I don't know about you, but if when I'm reading through the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and I see some of the things that God's people back then gave into after miraculous things like going through the Red Sea and seeing bread from heaven come down so they were able to eat, and all of the various miraculous things that happened to God's people in that time, it's like, why would you give in to these temptations? Why would you do that? Are you dumb? What's wrong with you? And to that attitude, Paul says, watch out. If you think you're standing, if you think that you can do it better, watch out, because you might fall. Stuart, watch out. If you think that you're smarter, you think that you're more holy, you think you're better than them, watch out, because you too could give in to those temptations. I mean, they saw miraculous things. They were blessed by God in many ways, and yet they gave in to temptation. And if we think that we're immune to temptation, watch out. If we think that we're better, watch out. If we think, of course, yes, we all sin, yes, but there are some things I could never be tempted to do, watch out. Because it's pride that goes before a fall. we're to humble ourselves before the Lord and He will lift us up. We're not to lift ourselves up and say, you know what, I'm better than all these other people. I would never do that. Let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Which is a stark warning, right? But then, along with that stark warning, he gives us this beautiful promise, and this is where we're going to camp out for the rest of the sermon today. In verse 13, let's read it again. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, to everybody. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So before we move on, let's ask ourselves this question. What are you most tempted by? Just take a few seconds. What is it that tempts you? Got that in your mind? All right. Now let's think about what God's Word says about even that temptation. First of all, He says in this passage that we can resist temptation, even the one you're thinking about, because of God's faithfulness. Because of God's faithfulness. Hear it again. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. I mean, think about it. God hates sin, but He loves us. And He's proven that love in the Lord Jesus, who died for our sins and rose to give us life. He loves us, but He hates sin. So what is He going to do? He's going to be faithful to not only supply what we need to resist temptation, but to even take sin out of our lives ultimately. As Thomas Chisholm wrote in his famous hymn, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." God is faithful. And if we're going to resist temptation, that's where we start. God is faithful. That's where we start. We also start with this other thing, because as He shows His faithfulness to us, He shows it by giving us what we need to resist temptation. And one of those things is this. He assures us, God Himself, the faithful God, assures us that there are no unique temptations that only certain people face. There are no unique temptations that only certain people face. As He says in verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. One commentator summarizes this passage and says, the circumstances that tempt us to sin are never qualitatively different from those which God's people of every era have experienced. One of the big lies of the evil one is to convince you that the sin you're being tempted in is yours and yours alone. You're the only one who has ever faced this particular temptation. There's no one who can understand. There's no one you can go to. You just have to keep it secret and quiet and not talk about it, not go to God about it, not go to another person about it. Just keep it secret, because nobody will understand. They will all judge you if you admit that you've got this temptation. But the truth is, we're not alone. We're not alone in the battle against temptation. Every temptation basically boils down to the same basic thing. Has God really said? That's what every temptation boils down to. Has God really said? Do you really believe God is being truthful with you? Don't you think that God has some kind of ulterior motive for telling you to do this or don't do that? He doesn't have your best interests at heart. It's all lies. It's all lies. All temptations boil down to this same thing. Do we trust God? And God says in this passage that there is no temptation that's not common to us all. Now, your circumstances may be different. I mean, your circumstances are not my circumstances, and my circumstances are not your circumstances. But at the same time, the temptations that we face, they all boil down to those same things. Am I going to trust God or not? So you're not alone. And no matter what your temptation is, there is someone else who has felt that. There is someone else who knows what that temptation is like. You're not alone. If nothing else, you know that Jesus was tempted in all ways as we are, yet he did not sin. And so he knows what it's like, and we can always run to him. But God is faithful in saying this truth. Look, you're not alone. Your temptations are not isolating you. You're isolating yourself. Don't be isolated. Come to God. Come to Jesus. Come to the church. Come to people who they will recognize, yeah, I know what you mean. I've been tempted in that too. Or at the very least, I know someone who's been tempted that way too. So God reminds us of his truthfulness. He reminds us of his love and care for us. He reminds us of his faithfulness. And another way he shows us his faithfulness is in this. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability. Let me say that again. God promises in his faithfulness, he will not allow us, me, you, to be tempted beyond your ability. Read it for yourself in verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. This is where Presbyterians get to talk about the sovereignty of God, right? That God is sovereign over all things. And because he's sovereign over all things, even temptations that come to us, God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. That's what he says. Now, let me just be clear. This is not the same thing as saying God will never give you more than you can handle. That's not what this passage is saying. God often gives us more than we can handle so that we rely on Jesus, so that we rely on the Spirit. God often leads us into circumstances that seem to be way beyond what we are able to handle. But if you look carefully at what this passage specifically says, it says God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your ability to say no to a certain temptation? Let's say it's 5. On a scale of 1 to 10, you've got a 5 to say no to a temptation. What this passage is saying, what God is promising, is that God will not allow you to be tempted at a level 10. He won't let you. He'll keep the level 10 temptations away from you. Even the level 8 temptations, he won't let those come near you if you're only at a level 5. He wouldn't even let you be tempted by a level 6. The highest level you'd be tempted at is a level 5 if that's where you are. Think about that. If you're at a level 5 temptation level, God makes sure that whatever temptations come your way, they will top out at that 5. Now, there are both good news and bad news with that, right? The good news is there is no temptation that comes your way that doesn't have to go through God first. God is filtering all the temptations that come your way. And he's like, nope, that one's too strong. Can't let them have that one because they're not ready for that yet. They're at a level 5. That's a level 8. Sorry. Move along, temptation. That's the good news. The bad news is, what does it say about us? What it says is we can't say, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. Devil can't make you do anything. You can't say, I couldn't help it. I had to give in. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. When we give in to temptation, and listen to me carefully, when I give in to temptation, it's because I chose to give in. I decided that it would be better to choose sin than to not. That's just straight out of the passage. Some of you may know a name, Jack Handy. He was on Saturday Night Live for a while. And in his book, Fuzzy Memories, he tells the story about this bully when he was a kid who used to take his lunch money every day. And Handy was smaller than the bully, which is normally the case, and so he would always just give his money to the bully. And one day, though, he said, I'm going to fight back. And so he decided to take karate lessons, right? And he goes to the instructor, and the instructor said, I'll give you karate lessons for $5 a lesson. And he thought about it, and he said, that's a lot of money. And he weighed the options and he says, okay, my lunch money is only a dollar, but I have to do $5 a lesson for this. It's better just to give in to the bully. And that's what we do. When temptation comes our way, it's trying to bully us into something. And we say, you know what? Rather than fight back, rather than flee, rather than try to say no, I'm just going to give in because it's easier. It's just easier to give in. But we got to remember that when we are tempted, God shows his faithfulness to us by making sure that our temptations aren't of a higher order than we can handle. And that is the good news of God's sovereign care for us. He loves us as his children, and he's like, I'm not going to let you be tempted beyond what you're able. But God also shows his faithfulness in another way along these lines, and that's this. God will also give us a way of escape in every temptation. Not only is there the temptation is leveled off by God's sovereign loving care for us, but in every temptation there is a way of escape. Again, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may endure it. No matter what temptation you face, remember the temptation I asked you to think about earlier? God always provides a way of escape. Unfortunately, as those who have gone through temptation, we sometimes think that finding the way of escape is sort of like trying to get out of one of those escape rooms. Any of you ever gone to one of those? You know, there's all these little clues and you have to follow the clues and, oh, is this supposed to go here? What about this code? Where does this go? And you're trying to figure out all the clues and it might take you an hour to get out of the room to find the way of escape. That's not what God does with our temptations. He doesn't hide the way of escape. It's there if we choose to see it. Maybe the way of escape is just to flee from temptation. When temptation comes up, you just run. Like Joseph did when Potiphar's wife is trying to seduce him. He didn't try to argue with her. He ran. Or maybe the way of escape is to pray. You know, when you're facing temptation, to stop and say, Lord, I'm really tempted by this. Help me to say no. Maybe a way of escape is to walk by the Spirit. We talked about that last week. If you're walking by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So we pray, Holy Spirit, fill me, empower me to walk by you and not by the desires of sinful flesh. Maybe the way of escape is the reminder of what sin really is. Sometimes I think we forget that. We forget just how icky sin is, how awful it is. Think about this story about these young middle school girls who they would go into the bathroom when they're at school and they would put lipstick on their lips and then they would kiss the mirror in the bathroom to leave that little imprint, you know, lip imprint. And they just thought that was the coolest thing. Until one day, they went into the bathroom and they saw the cleaning lady cleaning the mirrors with the lipstick on them. And the way she cleaned it was she took a brush and she dipped it into the toilet and then she scrubbed the mirror. They weren't tempted to kiss that mirror ever again. Sometimes the way of escape is looking at sin for what it really is and going, I don't want to kiss no mirror that has toilet water on it. That's yucky. That's what giving in to sin is like. Maybe the way of escape is, and I don't particularly like this word, but I know it helps for certain people, accountability. I've been in accountability relationships that went sour really fast, so I have a little bit of a negative vibe to that. But there is a good sense of accountability where I have a friend, for example, who recognized a particular sin in his life. And he asked me, would you touch base with me every Monday for a while? And just ask me how I'm doing. And he told me that just knowing, I didn't even have to do it, just knowing that I might call him and say, hey, how are you doing, kept him from giving in to temptation. Just knowing that somebody was going to ask. So for some, the way of escape may be accountability. There are all kinds of ways of escape, but ultimately, and I want you to hear this, ultimately, the way of escape is found in Christ. There is no better way of escape. Jesus is the way of escape. We can always come to Him as our great high priest with boldness and ask for mercy and grace in our time of need. Jesus, remember, He is the one who left heaven and He came to earth and He was tempted in all ways as we are, yet He did not give in to those temptations. But He knows how to sympathize with us. He knows how to meet us where we are. He knows what those temptations are like and He knows what to give us when we are tempted. He knows what we need. And sometimes recognizing what is better or what is best is what helps us to say no to things that tempt us. And Jesus is always better. Jesus is always better. Some of you may have heard of the marshmallow test. It was a psychological and sociological test that was done, I think, in the 60s or 70s, where they put a group of kids together and locked them up. They put them in a room. They didn't lock them up. They put them in a room by themselves and put a marshmallow in front of them. And they said, you can eat this marshmallow, or you can wait 15 minutes and I'll give you a second marshmallow. And then they left the room and waited for 15 minutes to see what they would do. Now, obviously, you know that some of those kids grabbed that marshmallow and they ate it. But what if that same experiment had been done and they put a marshmallow in front of them and then put hot sauce all over it and then put dirt on top of it and then sprayed some icky mess on it so that it just smells horrible. And then they said, okay, we're going to leave you in the room with this tainted marshmallow. And if you cannot eat that thing in 15 minutes, we're going to give you a whole bag of beautiful, wonderful marshmallows. And not just that, but whatever your favorite candy is, you get a whole bag of it. And not only that, we're going to give you a vacation to Disney World. Now, do you think that would affect how many kids ate that marshmallow? I hope it would. But certainly for those of us who have been redeemed by Jesus, when we see sin for what it is and we see Jesus for who he is, there's no question of what's better. The one who died for our sins and rose from the dead and has given us all things in him is better than anything we could be tempted by. So, folks, by the power of the Spirit and in the name of Jesus, let's continue to grow in saying no to temptation. That's what God calls us to. That's what the Spirit empowers us to do. And in the name of Jesus, we can do it. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, give us the power that we need to say no to temptation, to grow in resisting the things that tempt us, that we would grow more and more to look like Jesus, and that we would die more and more to sin. Jesus, make this a reality in our lives by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. If you're able, let's stand and we'll sing together, All for Jesus.
All my days and all my
And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.